Morning, morning, morning. Can I have everybody stand up? Welcome to church. Happy Sunday. Everyone say happy Sunday. Let's drag it out. Say happy Sunday. Let's see your hands. Happy Sunday. One more time. Happy Sunday. Let's go. We're delirious, so we've been here for 47 days straight. But anyway, it's so good to see y'all. We are excited for what's going to happen today. I'm going to introduce to you our panel in a few minutes, but we are starting our series next week to equip you to share your faith, and we're actually having the trainings during the week, but we're going to preach on the topics during the week on Sundays. But so we want to set that up one more week because we want as many of you as possible, and we want to take the whole church through it. Amen? Amen. So how many of y'all are ready to be challenged to do something? Very good. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you that when they nailed you to the cross, you could have come down. At any time, you could have just wiped out the Roman soldiers and just made everything perfect, but you didn't. You suffered all the way through to death that we may have life. So we pray now we can return the favor and die to ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a high five. Give someone a high five. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. If you are a visitor, I'm Miles, Pastor of the Rock. We just celebrated 25 years last Sunday. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And we are starting a new series next week called Just One. I can't encourage you enough to come and have your heart ready. God is going to do something, probably the most amazing thing in your life when you start sharing your faith and realizing, one, how easy it is, but how fulfilling it is to see people in your life, their lives change. So we're going to talk about that today. I'm going to introduce my panel here in a minute, but I want to tell you a first quick story. When I was growing up, I grew up in Long Island, New York, and my family used to go upstate. Upstate was anything outside of New York City. And so we would go upstate. It was about 2.5-hour drive up into the mountains. My grandparents and uncle had 100 acres. It was probably like $2 an acre. It was the middle of nowhere. They had deer and streams, and we used to go up there and hunt snakes. I loved catching snakes. I love snakes. We would go hunt for snakes and bring them home and go fishing and stuff. And when my father would say, hey, we're going upstate tomorrow, because he was a last-minute kind of brother, we're going upstate tomorrow. We're going to leave here at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, it was the only time we got up when it was dark as a kid. And we, in our minds, it was five kids. And we were all within 6 years of each other. My mother had five kids within 6 years. So we were, yeah, she was a monster. She was only 4'11". She was a beast. Worked full time. Let me pause here. She worked full time. My dad worked full time. They had the diapers you had to wash. There was no disposal. Life was rough. It was like Little House on the Prairie up in that area. Anyway, we went to bed excited because we had this vision that we were going to go upstate and have all this fun. I want to give you a vision for what this training is going to be and hopefully to excite you. I know sharing your faith is a scary thing, but we want to make it as accessible to you as possible. It is my life's mission to make it accessible to you where you can say, I can do this. So what are we going to do? We want revival. We want to see next generation, all of us, the next generation, sharing their faith, repenting of their sin, praying, seeking God, not coming to church to check the box. Don't raise your hand. Everyone say, raise your hand. Everyone say, don't raise your hand. Everyone say, don't raise your hand. Okay, so if you raise your hand, it's on you. But how many of y'all have come today to check the box? You know, it's just like, I'm just doing this because I just want to get it out of the way. We don't want that. We want people to come because we want to pursue God, and when you leave here, you're excited about what God's going to do in your life. And so I want to give you a high level of what the training is. I'm going to talk about it on Sunday, but that's not the training. The training is going to happen in small groups. It's going to happen in community groups at each campus, or just the two of you online, because two people do it together. So what are the things you're going to learn? You're going to learn my story, which is how to share your testimony. It is so simple. It is dumb. It's so simple. Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him, the accuser of the brethren, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks. You're going to learn the gospel nine words that we shape the gospel around. And these 9 words, let's put up on the screen, and let's say it, say the bold words on 3, 1, 2, 3, say relationship, rebel, ruin, say role model, ransom, rose, say repent, receive, and ready. Okay, we're gonna talk about that, the weeks to come, and you're gonna learn that, and you're gonna learn how to discuss those words and personalize them to yourself. You're gonna learn the salvation ABCs. In the video that I teach you how to do this, it's like a 3-minute video, my granddaughter, who's 2 years old, she's 20 months, she's in the video helping teach you how to do the salvation ABCs, because it's as simple as ABC. Everyone say A. Say B. Say C. Bam, you're halfway there. And then lastly, fourth is fire drill. How many of y'all would say, man, when I think of sharing my faith, I get kind of nervous, kind of scary a little bit. Anybody? Okay, let's try this one more time. Elbow above the ear, okay? Because by the way, if you're not raising your hand and you're not doing it, then what's the problem? I mean, if it's no big deal, but you just don't do it, that's even more negligent, okay? So elbow above the ear, all the people who are a little nervous, look around the room. Okay, now you're being honest, fabulous. Okay, every one of the sessions, there's 6 sessions, helps you with skills on how to overcome that fear. How to overcome when someone rejects you and someone doesn't want to hear it. Trust me, it's going to be a lot easier than you think. Matter of fact, let's try it right now. I want you to look to the person next to you and say, I don't want to hear the gospel from you. With an attitude. Just say that. Okay. We good? How many of y'all got told off just now? How many of y'all got told off right now? And you're okay. It's okay. Let's come on. Come on. It's not that big a deal. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And then lastly, you have to do this training, and I really mean with a gospel partner. You don't want to do it by yourself. It's not an academic thing. The gospel partner is someone you're going to practice with. You're going to watch a 3-4-minute video, then you're going to practice. You're going to watch a 3-4-minute video, then you're going to practice. And you're going to learn all the stuff we just talked about and more. Are y'all following me? Okay. And then in about 20 minutes, we're going to sign you up to be in the training, and then we'll tell you how to do it. And so if you haven't signed up yet, we have actually 4,000 people that have signed up already, and so we want to get you signed up. Okay, testimony. Just tell us about yourself, everybody. This is Lynette.
Hi, everyone. Morning.
Okay, and can I tell you, Lynette, do y'all know the show, the movie Inside Out? In Inside Out was a cartoon. It was an animated movie. In the movie, one of the characters was Sadness. Well, we did that movie here, and she played Sadness. Today's her birthday. We have a picture of her playing Sadness. Here's the thing. You're going to hear in a few minutes all the people she led to the Lord.
Hi, everyone. My name's Lynette, aka Sadness. Before Jesus, I lived my life seeking the approval of others, constantly craving love and validation from the people around me. Selfishness ruled my heart, and I didn't realize how empty and lonely I felt. Then Jesus, after my marriage failed, Jesus met me in my brokenness, and I remember asking why, and he replied, "How can you truly understand love when you haven't yet experienced my unconditional love?" Since then, my life transformed, and I know the importance of community, the Holy Spirit, and I immerse myself in the Word and worship.
Awesome. Becky?
Hey, everyone. My name is Becky. Before Jesus, I was a recovering perfectionist. I placed all my value in accomplishments and what people thought of me, and it was exhausting. Then Jesus was introduced to me, and he showed me a peace that surpassed all understanding and what real love really is. And since then, my life is far from perfect, but I serve a perfect God who is with me every single day and draws me close.
Step. Hey guys, my name is Stepan. I'm 21 years old. Before Jesus, I was a skeptic. I was righteous in my own eyes. I chased knowledge and purpose in my life, and I would debate Christians publicly, but Jesus met me when I was 17 years old, and he showed me through visions that the truth that I had been searching for in this life was actually in him, and that truth was searching for me. And ever since then, I've been baptized. I've received my prayer language, all things I was skeptical of, by the way. And now I have an amazing welcoming community here at the Rock Church. I serve with the youth and young adults, and I have the privilege of sharing the gospel everywhere I go.
Hello, I'm Sophia. I just turned 20 like 2 weeks ago. And so I grew up here at The Rock. I'm a pastor's kid, so my mom's a worship leader, my dad's a pastor. And I got saved at a very young age. I got baptized when I was 11. And then as I got older, life started to get harder. And I was actually diagnosed with Tourette syndrome, anxiety, and OCD. And so as a 7-year-old kid going through that, that's kind of crazy. So I just felt very alone. I felt like nobody understood. And so I would seek validation and pleasing other people. And I would cope with my anxiety with addictions, with weed, with smoking nicotine from a very young age. And then one day, God spoke to me through my youth leaders and through my pastors, and he reminded me that he loved me and that he missed me, and there wasn't anything I had to do, I just had to come back to him. And so that day, all my addictions broke, I was freed of anxiety, and since then, I've been serving here at The Rock. Since then, I've been serving here, I have an amazing community, I've been rebaptized, and my life has never been the same.
Amen, amen, amen. Okay, so all of them have been through the training because we've been developing it. We've been practicing on each other. I just want you to answer yes or no. Before you went through the training, did you share your faith? Like ever?
No.
What was that thinking about doing that do to you when you started about, I got to go share my faith?
I would literally feel like shaking in my bones.
How about you?
That would be a negative. I didn't feel qualified to share, and so I didn't.
Did not?
Did not.
Okay.
I just didn't do it. I was too scared. I just thought I wasn't, like, gifted, and I thought it wasn't my calling. I was like, oh, I'm just a worship leader, so that's for other people to do.
I did not share my faith either. I just felt the fear of rejection, that people wouldn't accept the things that I was saying to them.
Okay. That is most Christians. When I say most, 90-something percent. So if that describes you, you are in the majority, but it's not supposed to be normal. It's common, but it's not normal. Is I brag about the Savior that died for my sin. Normal is I brag about my wife who I love, my husband who I love, my best friend. And so just understand that even though it's common, it's really the result of losing spiritual warfare, the lie in your head that it's going to destroy your life and destroy a relationship if you share your faith. And so we want to undo that and not accept that to be true. Can I get an amen? And it's going to take all of us to work at it because obviously you got to do it, right? But we're going to make it as accessible as possible. So hopefully these testimonies will help you at least say, you know what? I think at least I'll take the training and get ready and then let God decide what happens. And so we're going to start with you. Tell us a story about Denny's.
Okay, so it was a super late night. Me and a couple of friends, we go to Denny's to grab some food. And as we're walking over to our table, I noticed a man sitting alone at a booth. And the night before, I had watched this story about somebody that went to eat by themselves before going to take their own life. So when I saw that man, I saw that story. And after a little bit of encouragement from my friends that were with me at the time, I went and I asked if I could sit with him. And at first, he pushed me away. He was like, I don't want your pity. I don't want you to sit with me. But I kept pushing, and I sat down, and I introduced myself. I told him my name, and I asked him what his name was and how he was. And that's when he just broke down. And that's when I knew the Spirit had guided me into that conversation, because he just started bawling. And I started talking to him, and he had a lot of church hurt. He had been through a lot, and he was blaming God for a lot of things that he went through. But I reminded him of Jesus' character. I told him how he's merciful, how he's always going to chase him, how he has a lot of grace about the sin that he's faced, and that if he just repents and receives that gift, that he can walk the rest of his life with his Savior. So that night, after a long conversation, he actually was saved, and he repented, and yeah. And after that, the Spirit was guiding me again to say something, so I asked him, I said, hey man, like, you can't walk into this new life without letting go of your past. So if there's anything you're holding on to right now, you need to let that go. I didn't know why I said it. The Spirit did. So this guy reaches into a bag and pulls out a bottle of alcohol, and he hands it over to me. Crazy. He just surrendered. That's a bottle of alcohol right there, by the way. And he just gave it to me. And yeah, I was shocked, and praise God.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm not saying you gotta go to Denny's and find someone sitting in the booth next to it, because some of y'all, that's just not your personality. God is gonna use you according to your personality, but your personality is a lot more elastic than you think. And what I mean by that, you may say, God may say, have you talked to somebody, and you're like, that's not my personality. And God said, that's for me to decide. Let him decide. However, I'm not saying you gotta do that. God's gonna put circumstances in your life, and you got people in your family that you're praying for, okay? Sophie, what's your story?
So me and my friends, we all went to the beach one day. We just did a just one training, and so we learned all the tools on how to do it. And we were like, okay, let's just try. So we all went to the beach, and we brought roses, and just to spark a conversation. So we handed people roses, hoping that we could talk about Jesus to them. And so me and my friend Bella and Emma, we went, and we're walking on the boardwalk, and we go to hand this rose to these two girls that were walking past, and they gave us the weirdest face. They're like, we do not want your flower. Get away from us. Like, oh, it's just a flower. Like, I don't. So
they were Sophie, like, did they reject you?
Yeah.
Do you have all your fingers?
I do, yep.
Do you have all your toes?
Yes.
All your hair? Okay, I'm just making sure. I heard some people say stuff is going bad happen to you when you get rejected, but obviously it didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, so they rejected us, but then I saw two other girls sitting right behind them, and I said, oh, let's go give it to them. And they're like, don't give people your rejected flowers. They just watched it happen. I was like, no, let's go give it to them. And so they were like, yeah, of course. We give it to them, and they said, what are you guys here for? We said, we're just here to tell people about Jesus. And they're like, oh, we already know Jesus, so don't waste it on us. Just if you want to give it to someone else who doesn't know Jesus, maybe just save it for them. And we said, no, we'll pray for you guys. These flowers are from Jesus. These are for you. And we kept talking to them, and we were just asking prayer requests, and they kind of got a little bit more vulnerable. And one of the girls actually started crying, and she said, out of nowhere, she said, this is the first time I'm saying this out loud, but I don't think I'm a Christian anymore. And we're like, girl, you just told us you were a Christian. So she's like, I don't think I'm a Christian anymore. And it turns out that these two girls were sitting there. They were best friends. They served in the church all growing up. They grew up. They wanted to be missionaries. That was their dream. But one of the other girl flew in from another state to have that conversation. They got there 5 minutes before we got there. They had the conversation of, are we going to leave Christianity or not? Like, do we even believe in God? And we found out that the reason they wanted to leave is because they'd been really hurt by the church. And they struggled with some of the pastors that they were following. And they were like, these people do not represent what is supposed to be Jesus well. So is Jesus even real? Like, these people are not kind. They're not gentle. They don't believe what we think Jesus is supposed to be. And we said, yeah, I mean, I'm a pastor's kid. Emma's a pastor's kid. And we've seen it all. Like, we've both been deeply hurt by pastors. We've been deeply hurt by the church. But we got to tell them that Jesus is the perfect role model, yes, and we're here to imitate him, yes, and be just like him, but we're human, and we're going to mess up, and we're not going to 100% be just like Jesus all the time. That's the goal, but we're not perfect. And I said, if your reason for leaving the church is because of people, that's just going to break my heart, because that is not who Jesus is. The hurt that you experience is not who Jesus is. So go home and read the Bible for yourself. Go home and seek Jesus for yourself. Don't do it for ministry. Don't do it for your pastors. See what's real and see what he tells you. And she told me that, you know, I've been thinking about this for years now and wondering if I'm going to leave the church, but I never asked God. And he still came and he told me that he loved me with you guys coming up to us. So.
Lynette, tell us your story.
Okay. So my story actually was before the training. It was actually started when you started to talk about Just One and asking us to write down those people that you want to share the gospel with or pray over. And so I started to do that. And of course, my family is the top people I pray for, and specifically my sister, Arissa, who through the course of that, I was able to invite to watch the Christmas experience, and Jesus opened an opportunity for us to chat through that by just her calling and asking about our church. My sister was dealing with some anxiety and just wanting to be a better mom, a better wife, a better sister, and she just wanted something different. And I just asked her, like, what's stopping you? Like, what is it? She was like, I'm almost there. I just have to get perfect. And I remember telling her, I go, Jesus doesn't want you perfect. He wants you just as you are. And with that, we continued our conversation. And then before I got off the phone, I asked her, are you ready?
Everyone say, ready. That's the last word of the Gospel 9. It is so important that when you talk to people, you ask them, no matter what, how the conversation goes, you say, hey, are you ready to accept the Lord now? I've had with people, and then I will say, hey, by the way, I know you're all mad at me right now, but you want to accept Christ? Okay. True story, but good.
Since then, you know, she's part of our online community. She got saved. She said yes. I'm sorry. Yes. She said yes. Yeah. And with that, you know, she read her Bible. She's, you know, talking to her kids about Jesus. And actually, we were able to sponsor my niece to come to Future SD and experience the Just One. And at that time, my niece, you know, she knew the Lord, she was working through it, but she gave her life to the Lord at that Just One event. But I'm not done. So a couple months later, in May, my cousin, Jashni, she reached out to me via text saying, hey, can we schedule some time to chat? I want to really straighten my relationship with the Lord and faith. And we did, and then she was talking to me about her testimony or how she was feeling. She had postpartum depression after having her second one, and she just wanted to feel happy, joy. She just wanted that feeling. And just like my sister, she was like, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I just have to work through this. And I said the same thing of, God doesn't want you perfect, he just wants you as you are. And then I asked her, are you ready?
Say ready.
And she said yes. So I was able to walk her through the ABCs with that. But I'm not done. God continues to use me. There, around August, I came here for Wednesday prayer. My sister Anisha was going through some things, and here you mentioned one of the questions you asked us is, what is impossible? Because through God, everything is possible. And that confirmed that, hey, I need to go to Washington to remind my sister that she is loved, that she's worthy, and that she is seen. And with that, you know, we had our first meeting, we cried. And then I remember calling my son, who we prayed, and I'm like, we can have a prayer circle. We doubled in size with my cousin and sister, so let's pray for my next meeting, because I told them that I'm going after her heart because Jesus asked me to. And so I wasn't leaving our next meeting without making sure she saw all of that, that she's worthy, she's loved, and that she is a child of God. And we went, and there was this one moment when Satan said, you're done. We've explained it. You don't need to ask that question. And I said, no. I'm going after her heart like Jesus told me to. So I asked her to accept the Lord in her heart, and I asked if she was ready.
Say ready.
Ready.
Say, are you ready?
Are you ready? And she said yes. But then on Sunday, after that, we went to church locally, and I took her daughter, Jaden, my niece. And Jaden has been asking questions regarding Jesus and just like, I want to go to church and things like that. However, I never asked her, are you ready? So after service, I asked her, are you ready?
Say, are you ready?
And she said yes. So with that, it's just me and my son sharing our faith, but not really asking, are you ready? And that's something that I have learned through Just One.
Amen. Now, am I saying that every time you ask someone, are they ready, are they going to say yes? She's not saying that. This has happened then. However, if they say no, you can say, okay, can I pray for you? And if they say no, you can say, okay, you want to talk about the stars or the or McDonald's or whatever you want to talk about. It's not the end of the world. But I promise you, there are people waiting to be asked, and they are just want the opportunity, and they don't know where to get it. And so I would tell you, there are people in your life right now that if you went up to them and said, listen, I want to help ask you about God. Do you believe in God? Do you think you'd be ready to ask Christ to be your Savior? And if you explain the gospel to them, there are people in your life right now who will say yes. They are. They're miserable. Sin never satisfies. That means everybody who is not a Christian has some level of dissatisfaction is going to bubble up in their life. And a relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to bring true joy. Amen? Now, a gospel partner is the person you're going to practice with. So when you go through you'll get the course downloaded to your phone. It's free. You're just going to watch some videos, 3-4 minute, 2 minute videos, and you're going to practice. You can practice anything you want. You can practice even saying, I don't like you, and then go, oh, but I love you too. You can practice anything you want. But there are certain things in there for you to practice. You go through these exercises, and one of them is to encourage people to share their faith. So these two are gospel partners. And when he was in Denny's, you were, what happened? Tell us.
Yeah, well, so you probably didn't know this, but we turned just one into an adjective. So it'd be like, oh, go just one him, or go just one her. And so we were in Denny's, and he saw the guy.
Just one him?
Go just one him.
Like, go just one him, yeah. Okay.
And so we're in Denny's, and he sees this guy. He's like, oh, I feel like God wants me to talk to him. And I was like, go just one him. Go share the gospel. And he was like, I'm just going to pray for him and ask him how he's doing. I was like, nope, we just learned it on Sunday. Go just one him. And then he goes up, and I knew he wasn't going to do it. So he goes and he sits down. And I went on Instagram, and I typed out, like, I went on the story thing, and I typed out just one. And I put it on my forehead. And he looked over, he's like, and he shared the gospel, and the guy got saved. So if I didn't do that, that wouldn't have happened.
Okay, let me just deal with the devil, because I know he's lying to somebody in here. That's never going to happen for you. When you try it, someone's going to yell at you. And it's going to be so embarrassing. Please. How many of you have been embarrassed before? Right? Can't hardly remember. So here's what we're going to do. If you, we want to do right now is sign you up. So if you have not signed up, we have 4,000 people that have signed up, 2,000 pairs of gospel partners. And they're going to go through it on their own online. They're going to go through it in a small group. They're going to go through it in a community group. We're going to talk about it in a minute at all of our campuses. But if you have not signed up, we want to sign you up. And what that means is giving us your contact information and then giving us the contact information of your gospel partner. And then we're going to send you information, the course, and the directions. We want our whole church going through it, all our small groups going through it. If you're not in a small group, we're going to give you a place to go, but we want to sign you up. So if you are willing to sign up, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Bold step number one is lift your phone up in the air. Let me see your phones. Y'all, this is really slow here. Let's try this. Way up here to the ceiling. Here we go. Wave it. There you go. Yes. Okay, next steps to 52525. It's on the screen. Text next steps to 52525. And then right in the middle of the screen, it says gospel partner. You are going to hit gospel partner, right? It should pop up on your screen. And then you're going to fill it out. And obviously, you can go to our website and do this later, but you can fill it out. And then once you fill out your contact information, there's a little button at the bottom that says gospel partner. You hit that and tell us who your gospel partner is. And then once you do that, we are going to send you information. We'll take another minute to do that. And as you do that, I would encourage all of you to start praying for the people in your life who need to be saved. Please do not let the devil convince you that you will not be the person to do it. Don't let the devil lie to you that it's not even worth trying. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Amen? Amen. Okay. Becky's going to tell us what to do. After you do that, he's going to tell us, we're going to start this, not this week coming, after next Sunday, we're going to start the training, but next Sunday, we're going to start the sermon series.
Yes. The gospel partner part is so, so important. I just want to stress that, and I love that we're getting you guys all to put that in your phone right now, because, you know, when Jesus sent out the disciples, he sent them out two by two, right? Yes, there's something about doing life together, as you guys saw, like, Stephon needed Soph to kind of, like, give him that extra nudge, and so please, please find your gospel partner. There has been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears put into this training by the creative team. We've really, really tried to drill it down to be as simple as possible to share our faith. So you're probably wondering right now, how do I do it? How do I get involved? Well, in order to join the Just One movement, there's three ways. First and foremost, as we just talked about, it's getting your gospel partner. Because even if it's just the two of you, you can do it together literally on your phone, like online anytime. So get your gospel partner. That's the most critical first step. Then if you're already part of a group, we really encourage you, again, this is better in community. So do it with your group. As a church right now, all of our groups are doing Just One. We're all taking that curriculum, that training on together. And now if you don't have a gospel partner yet or you don't have a group, then you want to join our campus community group. So we're doing large groups at all the campuses. There's different days of the week. Most of them are on Tuesday, but like men, women, marriage, young adults, they're all being a part of this community group. So you can come there and find your gospel partner and maybe hopefully a small group. So you can text Next Steps to 52525 to either find a small group or to find out when your campus is doing the community group.
Amen, amen. And even though all the small groups are doing it, even in the small group, you have a gospel partner because you're going to watch a video and then you're going to pair it with your gospel partner and practice in the groups. We want all the small groups, every ministry, all of us doing this together, and we want to see revival happen. And revival is where all of us are sharing our faith, we're repenting of our sin, we're praying for each other, and we're being obedient to God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, as we sit here right now, some of you may say, listen, I need to get saved. I need to get saved. So, we always want to share the gospel with you. So, Sophie and Steph?
Yeah, so, we're up here, we're talking about the way that we've watched God transform people's lives. And we know that there's some of you in this room who haven't even experienced that for yourself yet. And there's some of you who maybe you've experienced it and you've met Jesus, but you fell away from the church. And so if that's you in the room, I just want you to know that every single one of you, God made you in his image because he wants to live in a loving relationship with you. It's not a religion. It's not like, oh, I'm here on Sunday and then on Monday I'm going to go do my own thing. No, it's an everyday walk with God. And that's what he wants and that's what he created you for. But pridefully, we rebelled and we ruined that opportunity. We're not perfect. If there's anything that we can agree on, it's that humanity is imperfect. We mess up and we sin. And God is so perfect that it separates us from him. The sin that we commit separates us from him. And so what God did is he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. He lived the life that we should have lived. He was perfect. He was holy. He was so kind. He was so sweet and so gentle. He didn't deserve to die. But he lived the life we should have lived, and he died the death that we deserved. We all deserve to die, but if we tried to pay for our sins, it would kill us. And so Jesus lived that life. He died the death. He was beaten, and he was whooped, and they stabbed him in the side. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And the Bible says that he was beaten over and over and over until he was unrecognizable. And they spit on him, and they mocked him, all because we couldn't do that ourselves. So he took it upon himself to do it. And because he did that, 3 days later, he rose again. And because of that, we get to receive the gift of salvation by repenting from our sins. We receive the gift of salvation. And if you're ready to do that in the room, we want to give you the opportunity to do that today.
Amen. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And it really, really is that easy. I'm going to tell you of three steps that you can take. There's just A, B, and C. A, you're going to admit that you're a sinner and the penalty of your sin is death. You're going to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ came down as God's son and that he died and he rose again. And C, you're going to confess Jesus Christ as your savior and repent of your sin. So in a minute here, I'm going to pray this prayer. And if you want to accept Christ, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus, you're going to pray this with me. But as a word of encouragement, I want to tell you, Whatever war, whatever battle you think you're facing right now, it's not yours. God has won the victory. God has claimed victory over death. And now you have the opportunity to just simply step into that victory. So if you guys could just bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And if you want to repeat this prayer in the privacy of your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I am a sinner. And I am in need of your grace. God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, and that he died, and he rose again to give me new life. Jesus, I confess you as my Savior, and I repent of my old ways. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Transform my heart, and lead me in your ways. I am yours now and forever. So if you prayed that prayer, I just want to encourage you, on the count of three, to step to your feet. And when you step up, what you're doing is you're declaring to everybody here, everybody in heaven and hell, that you are stepping into this victory with Jesus. God says that if you acknowledge him before others, then he will acknowledge you before his Father in heaven. So on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to boldly stand to your feet. One, two, three. God bless you guys. God bless you. Yeah, God bless you guys. God bless you. God bless you. I see all you guys up there. Stay standing. Stay standing for a second because the enemy is going to tell you to sit down. But I want you guys to actually come up. I want you guys to come to the altar. Everybody up there, try to make your way down. God bless you guys.